Unfortunately, today's sermon recording was started late. The title is The True Christmas Story, The Gospel of Great Joy and Peace. Henry opens by talking about the importance of joy. The recording starts with him contrasting Andrew Luck and Tom Brady from the NFL.
The amount of, as you can kind of point out, there's this pain and rehab and just an injury and just this cycle that is going on. And Tom Brady, another quote from Tom Brady is, he's also, you know, he's 43 years old. He's not a stranger to injury, rehab, you know, pain and the cycle. And this is what he's saying about his decision to leave New England to play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is what he says. As I said before, playing for one team for 20 years has been an amazing ride and experience. But doing the same thing year after year brings its own challenges. A familiar rhythm can be comforting and great, but can also make you lose sight of other rhythms, near ones that remind you of everything that hasn't been done yet. And so it's been great, but to keep his, if you will, joy alive, he's making a move. You know, a lot of people thought that it was because of friction and tension, but you know, at the home front in New England, but and that they may have played a part in it, but in subsequent interviews, it became evident, you know, that he felt like he can just go somewhere now with all the wisdom that he's gained playing for New England and what a great team looks like. He just feels like he can go to another team and know how to build a fun but yet an excellent team. And he's done that. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers made the playoffs for the first time in many, many years. And so just let's take a look at both of them, okay? Andrew Luck didn't play in 2017 due to a shoulder injury. He was in 2018 NFL Comeback Player of the Year. He retired at the age of 29. Likewise, Brady didn't play most of 2008 due to knee injury. He was 2009's NFL Comeback Player of the Year, and he's still playing at the age of 43. And when Andrew Luck was interviewed about when this idea of retiring occurred to him, he said it was back in 2016 when he really got injured. He said he just promised himself that if he was going to live like this, football wasn't really going to be worth it, and that he had to take care of himself. And that's, you know, and he had to make that decision. And I think, and we look at that and we see, I think, not just him, but, you know, musicians, artists, academics. It's this idea that it's really the love of this is why you do what you do. And if you don't love it anymore, then it becomes oppressive. And when it becomes oppressive, then it becomes a chore. And you rather do anything else but than to do this chore. And so the gospel really finds us in this state of mind. This life seems oppressive. We feel enslaved because we, instead of get to do something, there's so many things that we got to do. And anytime you feel like you got to do something, I got to go to work, I got to do this, and your mind is not in that get-to mode, what Jesus is saying is he's going to transform everything about you so that you get to do what you do. Notice that. Jesus is not changing your circumstances. Jesus is promising that I'm going to come in the midst of, I got to do this, I got to endure this, you know, to now saying, oh my goodness, this is amazing. I get to do this. Let's take a look at how he frames this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. Now, notice, I'm just going to pause here. He's saying we commend ourselves. That means we're recommending ourselves to you. Look at us. Look at our lives. Look how horrible it is. You know, what not to say when you're trying to, you know, convince somebody to be a Christian or to endure this race. But he continues. But he also says, but in all of this, he says, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, in the midst of all this, the Holy Spirit and genuine love, you know, not hypocrisy, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as imposters and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold, we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Sorrow does not cave us in. There's something in that that brings about a joy. Joy comes in the midst of sorrow. And there are many of us right now in our church who are going through a lot of sorrow. And the promise of the gospel is that in your sorrow, God will meet us with joy in the most unlikeliest of circumstances. So we don't have to try to escape it. We have to confront it and then take God at his word that he will supply the joy that we may get to walk this life in the midst of our trials. And it says, and that's so critical because as poor, yet making many rich. Can you think about that? Here's a poor person who's not envying the rich. Instead, he's saying, look at us, we're poor, but man, we're going to make other people rich, like us. As having nothing, yet possessing everything. Because in every way, the treasure that we receive, that time cannot steal from us, is everlasting. John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. All of the commandments of God is there that we may walk in the life of joy. But our flesh can't take that. We just reject it. If we listen to him, surrender ourselves to him, and all the things that are holding us up, because this word finds us, right? I say this before, I've said this many times. It's like I'm drowning and the few things that are in my life, you know, entertainment, it could be K-drama, whatever it is that are holding us up from drowning. And then adding the commandments of Jesus is like, you know, handing us a baby while we're trying to not drown. But that's not self. What God is saying is, he doesn't want you to just survive. He doesn't just want you to escape. What he wants is joy for you. But you have to make room for his commandments, room for the kingdom. Because the ambition of God is that not just that you might have a little joy, right? But that it may be full. Full. All right. The gift text keeps on giving. It's this relationship between joy and hope. Let's take a look at Romans 15:13. It says, may the God of hope, right? A God of hope, right? This is future. Now, we as human beings are the only creatures that actually could think about a future. We think, right? That's why we worry, and that's why we hope, right? We worry because our mind constantly predicts, right? It simulates. That's why we have emotions. An emotion is the product of our prediction. That's neuroscience. That's not energy. And emotion and faith is a guided way, a godly way of making that prediction, because our natural self can never predict the ways of God. So that's called faith. Hope is a future projection that only human beings can make. And so, because God is like that, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, in this, in having this faith, in projecting. So what God is saying is, it's scary to walk down a path that seems so disadvantageous. But what God has to do as we begin that walk is to fill you with joy and peace. And here's what he says. I love this. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. So what happens is, when we predict God, when we predict that obedience to his commandments, like loving one another, like being serving, like being serving one another and caring, right? Loving broadly and deeply. These are things that when we take God at his word and we believe this, we have faith, and God is pouring joy and peace to those who are walking this path. Notice this. God is pouring joy and peace to people that are walking in trial and tribulation. And when you do that, because you have proven that God fills you with joy and peace, that's called hope. Hope is not wishful thinking. Hope arises from walking in obedience when your flesh isn't predicting that that's a good idea. But faith is predicting that's a wonderful idea, even when you feel like you're drowning, even when you have to make room, and even though your prioritizing may lead to disadvantage in this world, you're banking on that fact that God is filling you with joy and hope, and that joy and peace, and that what arises out of that is hope. And why is that important? Now let's take a look at this. This is beautiful. Romans 5:2. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into his grace. So in this path that we are walking by faith, because if we did it by sight, we would always choose a larger 401k account. We'd always choose a better car, a better house, a better this, better that. But when you forgo and learn to forgo, because you're walking in faith and you're giving more in faith into this what? Grace. And you're constantly fighting FOMO, aren't you? Because you're discovering grace in which we stand, and here it is, and we rejoice in what? Hope of the glory of God. Wait a minute. I thought joy comes right in the midst of our walk of faith, and then that turns into hope. Exactly. And then we rejoice in the hope. That hope is now, it's abounding. It's creating more joys. We have a joy explosion because you know the kind of joy that only arises out of true hope. And so you don't need the normal therapies of this life, right? Because what holds you together is the joy, right, that comes from the hope. We rejoice in that hope. And then we're not afraid to take more steps of faith because God will pour more joy into that walk. And then we have more hope. And then we rejoice more in that hope. And then we grow, we abound. Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. You know why we pray? Because if you're doing it apart from joy being poured in, and somewhere along the line, this has become a got to. I got to do this. And it's stopping this Christmas, right? The message of the gospel is of great joy. And it's finding you in that great sorrow. And if we just come to God on our knees and say, God, I need help, but I'm sorrowful. I promise you, you come before God in sorrow, he will comfort you. And that's our promise. And then when he comforts you and pours grace in that tribulation, a new hope arises. And then you will rejoice in the God who gives you hope in the midst of trial and tribulation. Let's summarize. The Christmas story is a story of Jesus coming into the world to give us joy. Without joy in the Lord, you will feel poor and envious. With joy, you will be content and feel rich, all the while working to make others truly rich. True joy happens when God pours it out during trials and tribulations. The joy in trial gives rise to real hope. Once hope takes hold, it becomes for us another source of joy. This is the gospel of Christmas. Okay, let's close out, starting with our leaders in prayer.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we gather this morning by your gentle yet fierce holy love that binds us together. In our immense need and longing for you, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you that you guide us into seeing all that Jesus means to you, means to us, and means to this world this morning. We come before you now, some from month-long Advent devotions, or none at all, some with great struggles to find joy in you, and some with maybe no struggle at all, numb for a very long time. But you keep us, Lord, not out of our own merit, but by your steadfast love. So, Lord, please fill our hearts with your great and undeserved love. Cause us to repent and lead us into the joy of this day. That today marks the day where your Son walked the earth, the great purpose to be the light of your glory, and the propitiation of our sins, so we can live our days on this earth in pursuit of your heart, so we can know you for who you are, in great sorrow, yet in great rejoicing. May your Spirit be with us as we continue praying and throughout this amazing day. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Father, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago to save each one of us here. We just want to shout, to celebrate, and to cry with thankfulness. You love us so much, and we are so grateful for that love. Without you, we would still be lost and in sin. But because of everything you have done for us, today we are free. Our lives are blessed. You are our joy. You are peace. You are Lord of lords and King of kings. And we celebrate you, Jesus, as our Lord this Christmas morning. Thank you for bringing great joy to the whole world. And once again, thank you for everything you did to save us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We thank you, Lord, for being our wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Because of your birth, Jesus, we can know God the Father, be forgiven of our sins, and have eternal rest with you one day. Thank you for your amazing grace and your lavish mercy in our lives, especially in this past year. You are truly our true joy and hope. Nothing else and no one else compares to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today to just celebrate the birth of Christ and the hope that has brought to this sinful and dark world. Help us to be reminded that Christmas not only signifies Christ's entrance into the world, but also the entrance to our lives. For without you, we are lost in this world. So I pray, Lord, amidst what has been a dark and difficult year for many, give us joy, peace, and hope in you. I pray that you fill us with the spirit of Christmas, a spirit that is not just a vague goodwill and tame niceness, but a spirit that is powerful, courageous, wonder-working, sin-slaying, defeating, and mighty. We thank you, Lord, for the cross and how, despite how sinful and undeserving we are, you came to love us beyond our comprehension. We continue to please bless and guide our church so that we may grow in loving you and those around us. We just thank you and praise in your name.
God, thank you for your great mercy and grace. Renew in our hearts the wonder and awe of what Christmas really means, that in your loving kindness you sent your Son for such sinners like us. Because of Christ, we know love. So help us to draw near with full assurance of faith and to place our hope in Christ alone. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus, we bless you because you are good and you are always good to us. It's been a hard year for all of us. We have struggled with sickness, or with death, with sin, with depression, with loneliness, pain, stress, and many other things that people shake their fists at you for. But we lift our hands to you because you are good. Like you say in your word, there's only one who is good, and that's God alone. So thank you for your goodness and coming to earth and becoming one of us. We're going through all the pains and hardships in your own life here, so that we can confidently say you are our great high priest who has gone through the heavens as well as through the earth, experiencing our struggles and being our victor, so that we can trust you with our whole lives as your children. We're honored to be your sons and daughters of the High King. We ask also that you bless our own children, put your hand on them and bless them also with childlike faith and with love for you, for all the saints. Help us to be faithful as parents and teachers and uncles and aunts as we promise. And we give you our 2021 in your name. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you for today. You are so faithful in how you love and provide for us. Today we celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus, who came in love and in hope to be the Lamb for us. He came to show us and set an example for us to follow. Jesus showed us humility as he came in human form and the obedience of the Father. He said and set an example of what loving and caring others mean. He obeyed and abided in the Father's will. I pray that we will follow and continue to reach goals of having a holy ambition that is not ours, but of the Father, walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Please humble us and give us hearts to love you and our neighbors. Thank you so much for just your grace and your mercies. May we continue to be led in your steadfast love as you continue to strengthen us. Continue to just set us apart just for your holiness. Thank you for this year, even in COVID and sickness and the circumstances that tested us. You have been so faithful. We see evidences of your grace and love, and we know you are for us. Thank you for today. Just remind us just of how great your love is. In your name we pray.
Dear God, although 2020 has been difficult in different ways, at the same time we thank you for stripping away many distractions and forcing us to simplify our lives in many ways. And today, on a day that has easily become hectic and even stressful, I pray that we all, young and old alike, come before you and be reminded that today is not about the presents we receive today, but it is about the gift we were given over 2,000 years ago. It is only because of that gift that we can call you Father. And as we move into the new year, I pray that we focus on how precious that gift was and how faithful you are and have always been. Help us to remain steadfast in our faith, trust even when we don't see you, when we don't see your hand, and turn to our brothers and sisters to be sharpened and to prepare for our daily battles. In your name we pray.
Dear God, thank you so much for always being with us and guiding us. This year has been challenging and special in so many ways. But through it all, we know that, God, you're always faithful and you never change. God, we are forever grateful, knowing that no matter what happens, you have a good and perfect plan and purpose for us, and we can always trust and follow you. On this Christmas morning, God, we are reminded again how good our Heavenly Father is, God, to come down here, God, and to give your own Son's life to save sinners like us. Please continue to teach us, God, and draw us close to you in the new coming year. God, we thank you, and we love you so much in Jesus' name.
Father, every year I feel like I never do justice to the magnitude of what Christmas represents. The wonder of your love and wisdom embodied in your Son, Jesus, a light who pierced the darkness and came down to a broken, lost, and dying world. This mattered then, and this matters to us now. Christmas isn't only for those who feel merry and bright. It is for those of us who struggle with the shame and reality of our own brokenness and all the insecurities and dysfunction that come with that. It is for those of us searching for real lasting happiness but can't seem to find it. It is for those of us overcome with anxieties about today, tomorrow, and beyond. It is for those of us in deep, unimaginable pain. But then, Jesus, you came and became for us our wonderful counselor, our Prince of Peace, our joy unshakable, our bread of life, the Lamb of God, our living hope, and our everlasting love. Help us to grow in wonder of all of this, not only today, but all the days going forward. And in doing so, that Jesus, you becoming our highest treasure and the ruler of our life will be an everyday reality. Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we celebrate Christmas today, I am just reminded of the manner in which you came to us, Lord. You are our Lord and King of the universe, and you come to us in a manger, Lord, because there was no room for you at the inn. And God, we know, Lord, that just even our hearts are often we have less to offer than even a manger, Lord. And so we're so grateful, Lord. You are so good to us. You understand us, and you do not forsake us, Lord. As we spoke about today, you are our great hope. We have nothing else to turn to, no one else, Lord. And so help us today to be reminded of just not only what you've done, but what you're continuing to do, and that we would follow. And love people and face our circumstances just with great confidence that you are with us. So thank you. Thank you for all that you've done. Pray all this in your son's name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for the great hope that we have. We thank you for just all the joy that you have poured out in 2020, especially during this pandemic, God, through all the trials and tribulations. We can just honestly say so many of us have discovered joy, God, in our circumstances that comes from you. The grace that you have poured out directly and through your people is, God, is just has been amazing. So we thank you for that. I also pray, God, that as we come upon 2021, God, that as the pandemic continues, God, as stress continues in this life, the cares of this world, God, the fears and the anxieties, God, in the midst of all this, we pray, Lord, that we would know the urgency of joy, God, that you promise amidst these circumstances. So help us to turn to you in prayer. God, help us to turn to you to seek your presence, to seek your face. Help us, God, to reject escape, God, to reject, God, running away, God, to self-independence and self-soothing. But help us, God, to see the urgency of discovering fresh joys in our walk of obedience, so that we would, Lord, have great hope, and with great hope that we could continue to abound in joy. In Jesus' name, amen.